Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
One of our blessings here at Unity of Fairfax, and for those of you joining us today, is our annual Unity Awakening series, a series of seven Sunday talks based on one book or one set of materials, and we also have small groups. This is week number six, so we are in the home stretch of our Unity Awakening series 2020. And this year, we're studying the book by Wayne Moeller entitled, How Then Shall We Live? Four questions that reveal the beauty and meaning of our lives. And so to remind you what those four questions are, they are, who am I? What do I love? How shall I live knowing I will die? And what is my gift to the family of Earth? So if you've missed any of these talks, if you're joining us for the first time today, or if you missed one, they're on the live stream archive on the website. Well, last week, we leaned into the question, how then shall we live with the end in mind? And whether that end is of collective social structures under which we live or other people live, I gave an example of when I was working in the newly independent Ukraine, or whether those structures are the self that we defined ourselves to be are coming to an end, how do we live knowing that that's going to happen? That often leads us to some anxieties. And that's what Moeller posits in the book, basically, is we're going to die. We're all going to die. No, it's not like that. But it's just the realization that in this physical form, there's a limit. How do we live with that anxiety? And he wrote in the material, a clear perception of our death forces us to consider our life as something worth living, an active, creative, passionate event. Life is impermanent, says Thich Nhat Hanh. It is precisely because of its impermanence that we value life so dearly. Interestingly enough, for me anyway, impermanence is one reason that gives gravitas to two very important holidays in our nation, Memorial Day and Veterans Day. In May, we remember those whose lives were lost in service to the nation while serving in our armed forces. The impermanence of their lives is known, with monuments and tears and remembrance. Our second holiday, Veterans Day, which is this week, Wednesday, November 11th, honors those who served knowing that at every moment of their service, their lives may be given in service to the nation. And though by definition, a veteran is still a living person, like our live stream operator today, Bob McMillan, thank you very much for your service, sir, in the United States Marine Corps. We are keenly aware that for many veterans, they gave some part of their lives that they won't give back. And these are our beloved disabled American veterans. And for them and for their loved ones, they too live with an intimate awareness of the impermanence of life. Unity of Fairfax has a custom on Veterans Day of utilizing veterans in service to our congregation that's here in person. So we have one today, so thank you, Bob. And we're doing things a little differently. So you will see on the screen a listing of known Unity of Fairfax veterans, and we always like to honor them at this time of year. And if your name isn't on the list and you are a vet, please be sure to let us know. And I invite us now to move into a space of prayer and appreciation for our veterans and their family. And so we open our hearts today, giving thanks that these amazing individuals are with us. And we affirm for them that they know they are appreciated, for they answered a call to service. We understand that policy makers will make decisions about how this service is utilized, but for those who heard Spirit's call to serve, we say thank you. and for those whose service may have left them wounded. We hold a vision of every need being met quickly and satisfactorily. They were willing to give an ultimate sacrifice. May our nation be willing to enfold them and surround them with everything necessary to know they are loved, valued, and appreciated. May we hold the same intention for everyone who has engaged in a service-related occupation, especially in this time when we are moving through a pandemic. So many people on the front lines at home, too, deserve our love and affection. We hold the vision of peace on earth, goodwill towards all, so we might not ever have to hear of another one who was wounded or worse. Our hearts are open, and we are indeed grateful. Thank you, God. Amen. Veterans Day emphasizes a key concept Mueller makes when considering how we shall live with the end in mind. He wrote the following while referencing people whose transition is imminent. However, these words are universally applicable, regardless of how many years or even minutes one has to live. He wrote, "With so little time left, there is none to waste. Suddenly, childhood trauma seems less compelling. Money seems useful only for daily needs, but greed seems silly. What can we really keep? Unproductive relationships are let go, and intricate career maneuvering seem wasteful, even comical. For those close to death, it becomes instantly clear that everything they do in the remaining days is precious. Every conversation, every action, every choice is pregnant with meaning and value. Only those relationships that are fruitful and loving are kept. The rest are allowed to fall away. Every act is a sacrament. Every breath a gift. Nothing is taken for granted. Nothing is wasted." Let us all live with that consciousness. Everything matters, every moment and every breath. So, moving on to today's message, it really serves as a bridge, I think, between the question, how shall I live knowing I will die, and what is my gift to the family of Earth? And that bridge is joy. And let me tell you, my heart is filled with joy today. You probably know why if you know me. I'm just going to say it. Our goddaughter is visiting this weekend, and we have perfect weather, and we're having an awesome weekend. So yes, having Flynn with us is just a true joy, and so we're very happy about that. Yeah, and a few other things as well. But anyway, I realize there's a general tendency for people to view the world as either sacred or secular, holy and set apart, or common and everyday. There's a time and a place for everything, as we learned in Sunday school today. And in our, do we have a Sunday school? Well, Sunday school, right, Beverly? Well, whatever. There's a time and a place for everything. And unfortunately, all too often, the holy or sacred gets a bad rap. And let me give you an example of this. I'm a big Billy Joel fan from way back. And he has a song called "Only the Good Die Young." And there's a line in that song that says, "I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun." I'm like, really? Really? Is that how it's got to be? It's got to be one or the other? And then I think about how often in movies and in humor, we see like the you know, you always see jokes made about the nun. Oh, hold that thought for a minute. You may notice the camera panning to the window outside. This is really exciting. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I promise I'll get back to the nun. We have an Eagle Scout project going on right now. Mateo, who is one of our Youth of Unity students, is an Eagle Scout, and he has his scouting troop refurbishing our storage sheds all weekend. And so I asked Bob to maybe pan on the window so you can see Eagle Scouts doing amazing things. But back to the nun. So often we see so many jokes about the nun with the ruler, or we see the preacher being made fun of, the one who's calling out everybody's sins and then doing them in the back room, if you know what I mean. But what if, and this is where I'm getting to the joy point, what if the dividing line between what's sacred and what's secular really is an imaginary and really is more of a teaching device to help us discern sacred and secular rather than a clear-cut sense of separation of this or that, either or? Moeller says in his material, "The true measure of a daily practice is a practice itself, is that the practice itself is joyful, loving, and gentle." And he's talking about spiritual practice. But many of us miss the point that he shares the material that is so important, especially in these times when there's so much up in the air and angst and anxiety. He makes an important reminder, and I want to share this with you. And he says, many of us, in seeking a spiritual life, feel compelled to adopt more formal practices, such as so many minutes or hours a day in prayer or meditation, which then makes us feel guilty because we can't find the time to squeeze them into our schedule. Let's face it, even in a pandemic, we're busy. The true measure of a daily practice, again, is that the practice itself is joyful, loving, gentle. As St. Teresa said, all the way to heaven is heaven. We need not be obsessed with whether or not we're doing the right spiritual thing, the thing that will make us more spiritual, because we already are spiritual. You can't be more spiritual. Cooking can be spiritual. Working can be spiritual. Gardening, driving, answering the phone, making love, cleaning out the refrigerator, all can be spiritual activities. It is our belief that they are not spiritual activities that brings a sense of separation from ourselves. Recall that Teilhard de Chardin observed, we are not human beings having spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So our spiritual practice then, whatever it is, should bind together both our humanity and our divinity, thereby healing the separation from ourselves and reminding us at once that we are both and always whole and holy. I mean, think about it. The word religion itself comes from a Latin word religio, which simply means to bind together. Moeller says, and I agree with him, that the implied tension between things that are religious and those that are secular is often harmful and inaccurate. You know, when we start dividing and drawing lines and separating this or that, either or, what happens is there is a splintering and fragmentation that happens. Psychologists are well aware about this. Our early leaders in New Thought and our New Thought teachings remind us that we are whole and complete. And so if we feel fragmented, our task is to awaken, to see past the divisions to unity. And we can translate that to the outer world as well. Let's see past the divisions and find what unites people, just as we look within and find in ourselves what unites us and allows us to know that we are both whole and holy. It's like that wonderful song by Peter Mayer, "Everything is holy now." You know, the ironic thing is that as we consciously commit to connecting all parts of ourselves, we have the experience of joy, and we have the opportunity to create peace and improve the quality of life for ourselves and others. I love how Sharon Sobel put it. Sharon Sobel is a member, is the leader of our Compassionate Community Service Team here at Unity of Fairfax. And along with her amazing level of service here to our community, she's also one of our live stream operators. She's leading, like I said, our Compassionate Community Service Team, and she's given me permission to share a few words that she recently put in an email to me. And Sharon says, as a team, Compassionate Community Service, We continue to believe that offering congregants ways to help others is a means for those congregants to help themselves. Spreading joy to others and helping others is a great way to make yourself feel better and provide purpose to life. Just love that zeal and that enthusiasm, because we want to find that joy while we have our bodies still. We want to find out through joy how we can give our gifts to the world. You know, and Sharon and the Compassionate Community team invite us to get our joy on by participating in the bag lunch program that we're doing this Friday for the Lamb Center. Information about that is available on the website under Classes and Events. And I want to give thanks to some other joy-filled people. We already talked about Mateo and the Eagle Scouts, who are doing some great work on our storage sheds here at Unity of Fairfax. They were here all day yesterday. They're here all day today. And it's just really exciting to see these young people making a difference, learning skills, engaging in leadership. I'm very inspired and grateful that Unity of Fairfax is providing this opportunity and that Mateo and company wanted to do this project. And I'm really grateful for the 14 volunteers from our Earth Care ministry who were also here yesterday tending the grounds on a perfectly beautiful day, giving service in joy, sharing their gifts with everybody who comes to our grounds. It's incredible what giving of ourselves can do to create a world that works for everyone. Those are all spiritual practices, whether they're hammering nails, painting, digging, and of course, pulling weeds. Now, all this doesn't mean discard your spiritual practices. Our prayer, our meditation, our discipline around these is important and helpful if indeed we want to have life and have it abundantly, because our spiritual practices, the ones that are very formal and those that are informal, keep us consciously connected to God as we understand God to be, and God as we don't understand God to be. In other words, to keep us connected with the majesty of life, and to keep us connected with the mystery of life. Our spiritual practices, whatever they be, keep us grounded in times of challenge when concreteness is needed. And they lift us up when we need a change in perspective or attitude. Our practices still our minds in times of chaos and energize us when action is needed. Our practices give us the capacity of holding the seeming contradiction between the statements, I am powerless over X and my life is unmanageable, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we read in Philippians. Mueller says in his material, we are at this very moment engaged in the most exquisite spiritual practices, the art of being fully and passionately alive. Wow. And do you ever stop to think my life is a spiritual practice? It's like those words of St. Teresa, all the way to heaven is heaven. All the way to the consciousness of peace, abundance, and joy is the way of peace, abundance, and joy. So do we look at our lives as spiritual practice in action, or are we stuck in the either-or dichotomy of this is spiritual and this is secular and never the twain shall meet? Are we stuck in a fragmented state? The opportunity before us is to heal fragmentation. The opportunity before us is to experience joy. The opportunity before us is to have life and have it abundantly. The opportunity before us is to expand our definition of what is spiritual practice. Mueller goes on to add, the heart of most spiritual practice is simply this. Remember what is sacred. Remember what is true. Remember that you will die and that this day is a gift. Remember how you wish to live. Our spiritual practice as both individuals and as a community is to heal the seeming breaches we find in the external world as well as the internal world. Polarization, whether internal or external, is toxic and dangerous. But it can and it must be healed. And whether we're doing that work internally for ourselves and on ourselves or externally for our nation or our world, I can assure you it will not be easy. And I promise you, it is always worth it. Always. Because in the end is peace of mind. In the end is an abundant state of living. In the end is self-respect and respect for community. And in the end, truly is joy. So, Amy, being as you're sitting over there at the keyboard, I'm going to ask if you can help us find the joy that will make all of this big picture stuff happen, the peace, the abundance, the respect and all that. Where can we find the joy?
I think I can help you there. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay.
That's all it is. You know, we always have what we need within us. We want to open that up and bring it out and find the joy. So join us next week as we look at how it is we're going to give these gifts in a little more detail. And in the meantime, keep singing. Keep your eyes and your ears and your heart open to what is good and powerful in the world. Be a part of it. Allow Spirit to move through you. And peace be with you. And namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.